Please be seated. There's a story told about three men named Joe, Bob, and Dave. One day they were hiking in a wilderness area when they came across a large, wide, raging, violent river. And they needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea how to do so. Joe prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." Poof! God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river. It took him almost 2 hours, and he almost drowned a couple times, but he managed to make his way to the bank of the other side. Seeing this, Dave prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." Poof! God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about an hour. He almost capsized the boat a couple times, but he made it to the far bank. Bob saw how this worked out for the other two, so he prayed to God and said, "Please, God, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to get across this river." Poof! God turned him into a woman. She pulled out a map of the area from her backpack, examined it carefully, and then hiked upstream a couple of hundred yards and walked across the bridge. As Christians, we believe in prayer, don't we? As Episcopalians, our whole service revolves around our prayers. Our worship manual is called the Book of Common Prayer. We have a prayer for every occasion. Historically, during the Reformation, the great leaders of the church contemplated what activity it was that draws a person to God the most. What is it that changes a person so that person's more converted, more Christ-like? At that time, the Roman Catholics would say, and still would say, that the most important thing for a Christian to do is to have Holy Communion. And their service typically is all about the Mass. For hundreds of years, the service was in Latin. People didn't even understand what was being said, but it didn't matter because they were all receiving the body and blood during Holy Communion. Luther and Calvin, the other Protestants, felt that the most important thing was to learn and know God's Word. And Scripture talks about being transformed, having one's mind renewed. So in most Protestant churches, typically the most important thing that happens is the sermon. But in England, reformers like Cranmer thought it was prayer that would really change someone. Spending time with God, being in His presence every day, changes our attitudes and perspectives. So while we certainly believe, like the Roman Catholics, that Holy Communion is very important, and we believe, like the other Protestants, that having our minds renewed through Scripture is also very important, we believe and understand that prayer is integral to spiritual growth. So with that as a background, you'll understand that when we come across a section of Scripture where it specifically talks of prayer, we as Episcopalians get really interested. In our gospel account, Jesus tells the story about a widow and a judge. Widows, you need to understand, had a very difficult place in Palestine, around the world for that matter. Normally, in first century Palestine, the wife of the deceased man had no legal right to inherit her husband's estate. So that when her husband died, she couldn't take for granted living in that house anymore or on that land. If she and her former husband had had no children, the estate reverted to her husband's male relatives on his father's side, his brothers, his father's brothers, and then the nearest family kinsmen. If she had grown children, things would be easier. They could take care of her. But A widow with small children might have to contend for property rights with her in-laws. If they didn't happen to like her, things could be very difficult indeed. In some cases, she might manage to have the estate inherited by her young children, and she would act as the trustee, but that was by no means a sure thing. One of the reasons there's so many places in scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about protecting the widows and orphans, because they were so easy to take advantage of. And people did just that. Apparently, that was taking place in this story that Jesus told about. And so the woman went for help, went for justice from the judge. Unfortunately, the judge was not the kind of judge Moses had stipulated when he set up the law. Under Moses, the judges were supposed to know and respect God's law, first of all, and secondly, they were to be compassionate. Well, this fellow in our story was neither one. He neither cared about God's laws, nor did he care about anyone else. So far in the story, things look pretty bleak for this poor woman. She has no protector. She has no advocate. She has to go to court by herself in a judicial system that doesn't even accept a woman's testimony as valid. In the first century, in a court of law, a woman's word had zero value. It's a little side note for any of you who might be feeling offended for women of that time. It's interesting to note that the first and primary witnesses at the resurrection of Jesus were women. God certainly values their testimony. But at that time, their society did not. This woman was rebuffed in court not once, but repeatedly. She was ignored and sent away over and over and over again. But note, she doesn't give up. She came time after time after time to say to the judge, "Give me justice." Finally, the judge relents and indeed gives her justice. So what's the point of the story? In this story, you and I, we are that poor widow. We're the ones who are in trouble. We're the ones who are suffering and being ignored. And what can we do? To whom can we go? As Jesus points out, we go to our Father God in prayer. But notice, these prayers are not said just once and then we stop. We don't just quit praying. Unlike the story at the beginning of this homily, usually in life there is no poof and God answers. Jesus says we're to pray day and night. So our first lesson as people of prayer is that when we're in trouble, or when someone else in the church is in trouble, we're to pray not just once, but over and over and over again. We're to pray every day for this situation, whatever it might be. Secondly, we need to notice that Jesus uses the word cry to God day and night. When we pray, we're not simply to pray like we're reading off a grocery list. Dear God, please help so-and-so. Dear God, please help me. Dear God, that's not how we're supposed to pray. No, we're supposed to be emotionally involved in our prayers. Notice that widow was desperate for help. She was urgent as she pleaded her case. No doubt she would list reasons. She would show historical evidence. She would ask for compassion. Remember how Jesus himself prayed. We're told that he offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears. How do you and I pray? Do we put our hearts into it? Or do we simply say words? Prayer is important. Clearly, Jesus anticipated that we would go through troubles, and each of us do. But we're to pray for help about our problems, not just once, but continually. And we're to pray with our hearts. We're to pray with our feelings. The parable ends with the promise that God will grant justice to his people. And when it comes, it'll be swift. The question he leaves with his disciples is, will you remain faithful? Will you remain persistent? Jesus will return, and we need to remain faithful and persistent in our prayers. Amen.